702.
WhatsApp Profilwe.
On 072 702 1702.
And of course, you're more than you're free or allowed to, you know, carry on discussing the Morocco win from last night, because I see the WhatsApp line is still buzzing around that. So call in and just drop me a voice note around that as well. Time now to talk acts of kindness. This morning, we're profiling One to One Africa, an NGO that uses a peer support model to train mental mothers to address the needs of women, society, and children. And One to One Africa has also collaborated with men from diverse backgrounds to pledge their support and take responsibility in the fight to end gender-based violence. So for more on their campaign this year and their work in general, I'm joined by Executive Director of One to One Africa, Gabelo Dandala. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast, Gabelo. Thank you so much for making the time.
Morning, Rufile, to you and your listeners. It's wonderful being here.
Gabelo, we're going to start with just, you know, asking you the obvious, but the work that One to One Africa does, could you give us a sense of why you established this, there was a need for One to One Africa to do the work that it does? And of course, what do you do in what you call last mile communities, rural villages?
I think to answer your question, you hit the nail on the head about we work in last mile communities. These are the most rural of rural communities, the ones that are furthest from the tar road. And we know that in this country, that is a direct correlation with how close you are to the road and how much development there is in infrastructure. And that the further you are from those tar roads is the less development and infrastructure there tends to be. So the communities we work in are typically those where the closest clinic is 20 kilometers away, and it's 20 kilometers on gravel. Mm. So in a word, there are very little or limited health facilities. And so you find that people tend to, one, not present on time or go to the clinic to really get the kind of help they should be getting. And I'm talking particularly about women.
Yeah.
And so our work was to say, all right, there are no doctors close by. There are no clinics close by. Where are people getting their assistance? So the idea was that then let us work with local women, train them, empower them, and let them be the community health workers who then provide critical assistance and care to women and children primarily.
Mm.
And the areas that we work in are areas where there are high HIV populations in those communities. So our entire model is about saying, let us provide help where there's the least amount of help available. And the way we provide help is to make the community themselves the ones who help each other.
Yeah. What's the extent of the training that you provide for these women? Are they counseling community members? What kind of interventions can they bring to bear in their communities?
Yeah. So first of all, we recruit locally. So we recruit these women from the community. And we're not necessarily looking for people with any kind of health experience, but there are particular qualities in the person's character that we look for, empathy and the like.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they've been selected, we provide them 6 weeks intense training on how to be a community health worker, around issues of HIV, around maternal health, around diabetes screening, and a whole range of basic health interventions. And one of the things about our team of mental mothers is that they themselves are living with HIV.
Mm.
Now, remember I said the communities in which we work tend to have high HIV infection rates or population.
Yes.
So what that means is that when they walk into a home, first of all, they themselves are a woman in this community. They themselves are a mother. And they themselves. So what it does is by the time they are approaching anyone in the community, they are speaking from a space of empathy because they understand.
Yeah.
And our model is around them saying they go from house to house, each and every village in which we operate. And we're working currently in 55 villages. Each and every one of those villages, our ladies will go into every household to do a screening, to make sure that everyone is healthy and well. And when they are not, we provide information. They provide health advice. where we come across critical areas, let's say they find someone who is critically ill, we as an organization will provide transport to take that person to a hospital, the nearest hospital or the nearest clinic.
Mm-hmm.
Where a person needs special care from a doctor, and maybe it's not critical, but they do need a doctor, we will provide referral notes so that when a person does go to a clinic and they get there, they will provide that referral note which says to the clinic, this person has been seen to by a mental mother, and therefore we will provide terms of the service that we, that they receive. Because as an organization, we have MOUs with several clinics and some departments in the Department of Health,
mm-hmm.
so that they prioritize our clients when our clients get there.
Yeah.
Something else that's quite critical that our ladies do is that they do a screening to see, do people in this household have birth certificates and ID documents? And it's surprising that oftentimes they don't. People, my first visit, for example, when I joined the organization,
mm-hmm.
we went to a home where there were 17 people living in one rondavel,
mm-hmm.
and there were only two people who had identifying documents. So our team of mental mothers, they will also provide what we call social security by making sure that people are able to get ID documents, to get birth certificates. Why? So that the children who need to go on a grant can go on the grant and can receive that and the family can receive that income and at least provide some type of food security for that household.
Yeah,
so
sure.
It's quite broad what our mental mothers do. But our first point of call is through health. But any other issues that they find in a household, they will then assist that family with whatever challenges that they find.
Yeah. What a comprehensive intervention. What a necessary and important one, Gabelo. Now, speaking of 16 days of activism for no violence against women and children, you, 1-2-1 Africa, undertook an activation, basically create an activation around 16 days. And this was to call on, you call them all good men of action, to rise above the narrow view of communities that still harm mothers and daughters that raise us. But just speak to us about that intervention and how you are calling on men to join the fight against gender-based violence. Of course, if they tend to be the main perpetrators thereof, they need to be part of the solution.
Absolutely, absolutely. And when you are saying, so remember, we as an organization, we say we are about improving the health outcomes, maternal and general health outcomes and development outcomes of women and children in communities in which we operate.
Mm.
And one of the issues we come across time and time again is that of gender-based violence. And in as much as we can provide advice and guidance and counsel, we got to a point where we realized that this is not enough. We need to start engaging the men directly.
Mm-hmm.
Who themselves are the perpetrators, and get them to start, one, understanding the true impact of what they are doing, and secondly, to do that in an effort to stop that behavior and to start to instill a different type of thinking to say, I am a man, but you don't need to be violent to prove your masculinity.
Mm.
We actually started as an organization called Engaging Men to start to address this. But when 16 days came along, we thought it's important that we elevate this conversation.
Oh, goodness. The phone line seems to have dropped out there. Gabelo? Gabelo, what I'm going to do is just put you back to my producer and let's see if we can get you back on a better line. But I really am curious to find out just how 1-2-1 Africa engages men in communities and has these conversations, because, you know, no one at the first sort of when you first or initially broach a topic or a subject around violence towards women and gender-based violence and one's own hand in it or culpability, I imagine many men aren't upfront or open to having that conversation. There's a level of building trust, I imagine. There's a level of establishing relationships that needs to happen where, you know, people can have honest conversations around, once again, culpability and the impact that one's action has. Gabelo, I hope we've got you back on a better line. But if you can just give us a sense of how you actually engage these men and open up those channels of communication, and most importantly, those channels for introspection and therefore change.
So while our mentor, the peer model for the women and children, is using what we call mentor mothers, for the male engagement, we have recruited men that we call mentor brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And our line of approach was firstly to speak to the chiefs in all of those villages and tell them the work of engaging men and what we are hoping to achieve with this program. We were actually quite surprised by the level of support we got from the chiefs,
yeah,
who said, you are right, there is a problem like this in our communities, please do come. So we actually ran dialogues and sessions with the chiefs first. When we got their approval, then we recruited men who then are the mentor brothers. And they then have conversations in the communities with men. The difference is the mentor brothers don't go house to house.
Mm-hmm.
They go and meet men where they are, in the spaces that men tend to come together in the communities. The mentor brothers, who themselves are from the community, they go to those spaces. And then they just start these conversations. They start them as just social conversations, mm-hmm, with men. And we've been very clear to say we don't want them to be prescriptive. It's really about dialoguing and letting it be an organic, authentic conversation in those spaces, but a conversation with an intended message and narrative,
yeah,
that the mentor brothers share.
Yeah.
So it's really about meeting men where they are in the community, those role models through mentor brothers, and then having these conversations. And so far, we ourselves have been surprised at how receptive even the communities have been about having these conversations, and the men in those communities have been about participating in such dialogue.
Yeah, that's a really heartwarming feedback to hear. Gabella, we're going to have to leave it right there, but thank you so much for your time this morning and just educating us, letting us know and understand the work that you do in communities, those last mile communities, as you call them, which are often, as you say, you know, forgotten about, abandoned. They don't get the resources, the support, the infrastructure that they need. So it's heartwarming to know that organizations such as yours are doing important work there. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you so much, Rufile.
Gabella Dandala is Executive Director of 121 Africa.